Please do be seated. Apologies first if I suddenly lose my voice. Like many of us, I think I've been battling a cold this week. And at some point, as we're speaking on the theme of love, I might break into the Reverend Barry White at any given moment. So it's okay, I've got some whiskey behind me in the form of Ribena. Let's close our eyes as we come around God's word. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your amazing gift of love to us. Help us this morning now as we come to your word, that our hearts would be open and our minds would be ready to receive all that you have for us today. We thank you for this wonderful time together. Amen. Question for us this morning. How can we measure how much God loves us? How can we measure how much God loves us? If we stand on a mountainside and look down into the valley below, or if we take a moment to look up into the clear night sky, as indeed we look around creation that surrounds us, can that tell us how much God loves us? Maybe, perhaps it could. And what about the good things that we have? Our wealth, our family, friends. What about our health? Is that a measure of how much God loves us? The Bible says it's impossible to measure how much God loves us. It's too deep. It's too big. It's too wide. It's too high for us to imagine. Creation can sadly become ruined or polluted by our own poor stewardship. The good things that surround us can become spoilt. Fortunes can be lost. Relationships can let us down. Health can fail us. Because if we try to measure God's love for us by these things, we will ultimately only be disappointed. And actually, I've come to think that we use the word love far too freely. And we don't stop to think what love is. Truly means. We can declare, or I can declare, my undying love for porridge every morning, or my undying love for my wife and family, and at the same time using the same word, love. Except that I wouldn't take a bullet for my bowl of breakfast porridge, but I would lay down my life to protect my family. I may love them both, but there is a difference about how I feel about them. And that's a problem that's common with English. Other languages around the world, and including the languages of the Bible, of love. Different words are used to express different kinds or depths of love. C.S. Lewis wrote a book, a wonderful book, which I encourage you to read at some point, called The Four Loves. And in this book, C.S. Lewis explores what affection, charity, friendship, or sexual love, what they mean and what the difference is between them. And Lewis uses this remarkable and wonderful phrase throughout that book, gift love. Gift love. Gift love is freely given. This is the kind of love that is shown without expecting anything in return, even if it costs you everything. And he calls this gift love. So to come back and answer my original question, for me, as I think about God's love, is it possible to measure God's love? Well, the Bible said that it's too big, it's too massive, it's just too huge. But there is one thing that we can use. Yes, lots of good things come from God. But is there something, a gift, that God has given to me that cost him everything and which he expected nothing in return? Has God loved me with the gift love that C.S. Lewis has written about? Well, in John 3:16, we have this most amazing verse, that God loved us so much that he freely gave what cost him the most, his son. And so we can begin to see the generous and most costly gift of love the world has ever been given. If we measure the value of God's love by the value of the gift, then Jesus is the greatest gift of love ever given. Jesus is God's gift love to the world. He could not have loved us anymore. A gift given freely, without measure. A gift, as we sang this morning, that we need to receive by bringing absolutely nothing. There is nothing that we can do. There is nothing that we can bring to receive God's love apart from a very simple yes in our hearts. And Jesus loved the same way that God loves us. When Jesus walked this earth, he loved those around him with the same love that his Father had for him. So important was this aspect of sacrificial love, of gift love, that Jesus commanded his followers, those that believe in him, to do exactly the same thing. In our reading from John 15, Jesus said, "My command to you is this, love each other as I have loved you, because greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." That last part of that verse means a lot to me. I'm in the military, and this is a verse that we'll hear a lot about on Remembrance Day. It's a verse that's written on lots of memorials. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. Our Commander-in-Chief, Jesus Christ, has ordered us to go and to love others in the same way that God has loved him and that Jesus has loved us. And my friends, we live in a broken world that seems more and more to be surrounded by confusion, by bitterness, and by division. Our world needs God's gift of generous and unconditional love. The kind of love that heals rather than separates. The kind of love that brings people together rather than pushes people apart. St. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and he declared that you can have all the spiritual gifts in the world, that you could even suffer hardship and pain for his name's sake. But if you don't love others in the same way that God loves you, then actually you have absolutely nothing of value. And friends, too often God's people have spoken too much and acted too little or too late. God's gift of love is active, not passive. God's gift of love is divine and not human. God's gift of love is more than just empty words. Our reading from Corinthians is often used at weddings. And it's an attempt during the wedding service. The bride and groom think they may be suggested, I might suggest them some passages, and they think, I really like that passage about love. And they use it as an attempt to describe what human love can look like. But sadly, the words are slightly taken out of context, because Paul there isn't talking about human love. Paul is using the same word, this word of gift love, to describe the love that we should have one another. This is how God's people should love one another. This is the word love used in that passage is describing unconditional gift love, not mere human romantic love. Not that there's anything wrong with romantic human love, but God's gift love is so much more powerful. Human love fails. God's love never fails. God's love always wins. God's love is patient. God's love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. God's love is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. God's love keeps no record of wrongs. God's love does not delight in evil, but always rejoices with the truth. God's love always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres, and God's love never fails. But here's the thing. For me, God's love can sometimes seem too abstract, too theoretical. I've studied theology, and there's a danger that can it just rest in my head and not move down to my heart. Maybe it's because I'm a bloke and not in touch with my emotions. I don't know. But I do know that God's love is real. And I do know that God's love is active and needs to be seen. It needs to be touched. It needs to be spoken about. And praise God. God knows this. God doesn't want us to live isolated Christian lives, trying to work out our faith on our own. God knows our struggles. And this morning, friends, let me encourage you. God wants to help us with our faith. And we saw this morning. God has given us wonderful friends and a wonderful church family to help us live out and to work out what our faith means. So when I see or when I experience the people of God love me without judgment, I feel God's love for me. When I see or hear of God's people loving and caring for my wife or my family, wishing nothing in return, I can sense God's love for them. And when I see the body of Christ, the church, loving each other or those around them unconditionally as Jesus has loved us, I see God's love in action. But love like this costs everything. Our salvation was at the cost of Jesus' sacrifice. Her Majesty the Queen said a number of years ago and briefly mentioned in her last Christmas speech, "Grief is the price we pay for loving others." Because, my friends, this wonderful, generous gift of love is costly. To love others unconditionally takes time It might ask of our money or our effort. We might have to put aside our own emotions, that because the reward is not for us, the reward is for other people. It does sound a bit like parenting, doesn't it? We may never know the single impact of an inspired act of God's love for another person. Over the years, as a pastor, I've heard some most wonderful and amazing testimonies, stories of how a simple act of showing God's love to somebody else has made a huge impact on the life of somebody else. I can stand here today as a believer because many years ago, somebody, a stranger, did an unconditional of God's love act for me and turned my life around. And I became so interested in this love that I became a follower of Christ. Christ told us to let our good deeds shine, would be crucified. Friends, we're thinking this term about what it means to be a generous people of God. What does it mean to live in today's society and to be part of a generous Christian community? Well, as I come to finish, let us allow God to challenge us. Let us allow God to ask us some difficult questions. Maybe you've never thought about it, but why don't you think about how much God loves you? And then ask yourself this question: do I love others the same way that God has shown his love for me? Without the motive of personal reward, without expecting anything or needing or to receive anything in return, have I loved other people in the same way? A Christian author wrote, apart from the love of God and of his people, but with such love, with the love of God, generosity towards others is not only possible, but friends, it becomes inevitable. Why not this week spend some time thinking about how much God loves you? What does that mean for you? That God freely gave his son to us that we might receive that love. And then friends, this week, go out. Do one outstanding, ridiculous, unannounced, God-inspired demonstration of his love, his gift love, his unconditional love, not for you, but for somebody else. Do one thing for somebody else, expecting nothing in return. And then wait and see what happens. Because my friends, God's love never fails.